This is Dr. Lee for America with Truth for Health, the rest of the story, as we continue our series on Biden's betrayal of the military with more devastating information about the dangerous experimental COVID vaccines and the damage they are doing to our military service members and the way in which exemplary service members are literally being purged from the military as rapidly as the Department of the Defense can process them out at a time when recruiting is having terrible problems meeting their goals. America, wake up. Our military is being destroyed before our very eyes. You're going to hear from military officers, attorneys, and an interview from Dr. David Martin, who is talking about the criminal genocide with the experimental shots. These are unlawful orders to mandate an experimental use authorization shot that is not needed medically in our young, healthy military population and is causing devastating medical damage and deaths of our service members, in addition to the fact that it is trampling on their basic constitutional rights to refrain from taking an experimental shot. Their religious exemptions are ignored, medical exemptions are ignored, and all the way around. This is one of the most dangerous times in our military history that we are facing with practically dismantling our military before our very eyes. Listen to what the experts have to say in this part four of Biden's betrayal of our military.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Eric. And welcome to everybody who's watching. I am not going to retread the ground that I have tread many times. For those of you who have not been familiar with the work, you can go to prosecutenow.com. And at prosecutenow.com, you will see the Utah federal case that we have filed against the president, against CMS, and against the Department of Health and Human Services. If you want to understand why we refuse to use the term vaccination, that's the reason why. So go to prosecutenow.com. There you'll also see the summary of litigation, and you'll also see the draft indictment. What I can say is that we have three different law enforcement agencies who, in fact, are working with us right now on the development of the very first criminal indictment against one of the sociopaths that architected this global campaign of terror. And you will be hearing more about that between now and the 22nd of May. So the crime is coming. And if you haven't read the Utah filing, please do, because it is actually extremely, extremely important. And obviously, some of you are aware that George Wentz, Leslie Mnookin hired me and George to build the case that ultimately led to the Florida decision that removed masks from airplanes. So we have the first win, which obviously is now benefiting everybody who has to ever be in a plane. And we are now in the middle of the preliminary injunction phase of the Utah case against CMS. But I wanted to lean heavily into the Canadian side of this question, but I want to make sure we stipulate something out of the gate. This is not a public health situation. It's not even a science situation. And while I appreciate the public health people and the scientists who love to talk about the nuance of this, it is like commenting on the merits of firearms at a shooting. This is a case of murder. It is not a case of disease. It is not a case of pandemic. This is a case of murder. And people who are currently doing the delivery of the agent of that murder are, in fact, people who wear lab coats. If they wore anything else, if they wore hoodies, they wore anything else, we'd call them murderers. Right now, we call them doctors. The fact of the matter is, this is premeditated global terrorism. This is premeditated domestic terrorism. And this is premeditated racketeering. And the reason why I say that is because the evidence is that Canada and the United States collaborated, and specifically during the gain of function moratorium. For those of you who actually don't understand the dynamics of this, the weaponization of the spike protein associated with WIV1, which is the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1, which was sampled from China reportedly between 2011 and 2013, which was replicated at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill in 2013 and 14, which was the subject of the moratorium on the gain of function research, where Anthony Fauci said to Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill in October of 2014, that while there was in fact a gain of function moratorium, his work on the weaponization of the Wuhan Institute of Virology virus spike protein was able to go on because, I quote, he had already been funded, end quote. And this study, which was done in vivo, resulted in two papers, one in 2015 and one in 2016, both stating that the Wuhan Institute of Virology virus 1 spike protein targeting endothelial tissue, targeting lung tissue, targeting kidney tissue, he stated that it was, and I'm quoting, poised for human emergence. So anybody who wants to sit here and pretend like this is anything other than premeditated murder is actually watching freight cars roll across Germany and wondering where neighbors are going. The fact is that there is no question whatsoever that this was a premeditated act of murder. And for those of you who have not heard it, I will not get on a show without reciting the evidence. In March of 2015, Peter Daszak, the chief architect of the deployment of this particular campaign of terror, along with Anthony Fauci and Ralph Baric, Peter Daszak made the following statement. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, we need to increase the public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. If you think that this is an issue that has anything to do with a virus spreading in a pandemic, you are delusional. This is a premeditated crime. They announced the crime in 2015, and conveniently, the government of Canada entered into an agreement with the distribution of the lethal agent in 2015. And specifically, that was Thomas Madden, that was Peter Cullis, and that was Peter Cullis, Thomas Madden, and Ian McLaughlin, who at the University of British Columbia developed the lipid nanoparticle that was required to first demonstrate the ability to actually do what was called gene silencing in monkeys, and then took that technology after a lawsuit, which was a $65 million lawsuit. The settlement of that lawsuit in 2012, and for those in Canada, look up that lawsuit. It was the lawsuit between Protiva, Techmira, Alcanna Therapeutics, and the University of British Columbia. After the $65 million settlement was paid in that particular case, in 2015, Alcanna Therapeutics, owned by Thomas Madden and Peter Cullis, sublicensed the lipid nanoparticle technology to Moderna for the development of an mRNA vaccine during the gain of function moratorium in violation of US and Canadian law, because it's illegal in Canada to support and make a agent which enables the delivery of a biological weapon. That's actually illegal in Canada. And it's illegal to develop and aid in the development of a biological weapon in the United States. Those are felony violations of two parts of the criminal code of the United States. 18 U.S. Code subsection 2339, which is conspiring to commit acts of terrorism, and 18 U.S. Code section 175, funding and creating a biological weapon. The fact of the matter is, Alcanna Acuitas and the University of British Columbia, together with Moderna, are in fact guilty of felony violations of 18 U.S. Code section 175. And that felony violation took place in 2015, specifically during the gain of function moratorium. Any law enforcement official who is actually doing anything in support of Trudeau is aiding and abetting the criminal acts of the government of Canada, the criminal acts of the University of British Columbia, and the criminal acts of Acuitas, Alcanna, and its principals, Thomas Madden and Peter Cullis. So lest we sit here and pretend to stand on ceremony, the fact of the matter is, it does not matter what clinical trials have or haven't been done. That's like debating the merits of copper when a bullet is in a corpse. That is a foolish exercise. What we need to be doing is focusing all of our efforts single-handedly and directly on the criminal prosecution of terrorists who have now aided and abetted in the murder of millions. And just to put a fine point on this thing, Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, in addition to being the architect of the spike protein weaponized to destroy humanity, also holds patent interest in the invention of remdesivir, which was known in its clinical trials in the early 2000s to be lethal when used in patients for a number of other pathogens. And willfully and knowingly distributing an agent that is in fact known to be harmful and fatal to humans is premeditated murder. And the fact that all of the governments inside the earshot of who's listening right now have adopted the remdesivir protocol and have adopted the acceptance of the narrative that this is in fact a some sort of variation of coronavirus, the fact of the matter is, neither are the case. This is in fact a bioweapon delivered by a carrier agent developed by the government of Canada. And given that Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna both pay royalties to Canadian interests, every single shot administered from Pfizer or from Moderna involve license fees that flow back to the government of Canada. So this is racketeering at the highest level. And the Canadian government is complicit and guilty of racketeering and conspiring to fund the commission of acts of terror. Eric, you know, I could go on, as you know, for hours and hours and hours, but the point is really simple. I am tired of the conversations around debating the merits of the fine points of whether or not viruses or other things exist or don't exist. The fact of the matter is, we have to focus on the crime that's being committed. We have to put our efforts on that crime. And 100% of what I'm doing is making sure that the entire world knows that anybody who actually promotes a narrative that says that there is a novel disease, anyone who promotes the narrative that says that there's a novel pathogen, and any lawyer who stipulates that there are either of those things is as complicit as Trudeau and Fauci. It's time that we draw a line in the sand and say, we the people will not stand for the domestic and international terrorism that is being done in the name of health. And that's it. That's the wrap. That's what I'm doing.
And now a warm welcome to attorney Todd Callender, who is an international attorney, CEO of a major international insurance disability group, and also the founder of Disabled Rights Advocates Law Firm, which has been doing heroic work on the front for the U.S. military, defense of our service members. Todd is the lead attorney and attorney of record on the first DOD lawsuit in August of 2021, and has recently filed with Andy Schlafly the appeal on that DOD lawsuit. Robert V. Austin. In addition to that, Todd has been working with Truth for Health Foundation as our foundation attorney and on our legal advisory council, helping us with the hospital rescues of COVID patients whose rights have been abused, and helping us with criminal complaint templates that we can use for citizens and military service members to file when there have been criminal violations of the law as it relates to COVID mandates, vaccine mandates, and abuse of patient rights. Todd also served in the U.S. military, in the U.S. Army, before leaving the military to become an attorney. And he served as an attorney in Poland following when Poland broke away, escaped from the control of the Soviet Union, and working in a large law firm, helping the Polish government and businesses begin to privatize their economy after the control of the Soviet economy. He then later worked overseeing the needle-free injector as a medical device in the vaccination program that was approved by the State Department to roll out in Cuba as one of the first business people bringing that medical device to assist in the vaccination program in Cuba on a humanitarian project. So Todd has a unique background, not only in the military, but in law, international law, civil and criminal, as well as defending the rights of the disabled. And he has the experience in what happens to an economy under totalitarian control. And he also has experience in clinical trial and how they should be run for a humanitarian vaccination program. An amazing breadth of experience, and we are honored to have him speak to some of the big issues facing us that we have brought out in this press conference today. Thank you, Todd, for all of your service to humanity, as well as your service in the military. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me here. I liked your setup here. There's a lot of things that we can talk about that fit nicely.
Well, let's focus on the big issues that you are most concerned about today as it relates to what is facing our country. And what is the consequence if we as American citizens don't stand and defend our military service members and their rights?
Yeah, that's really good and very foundational. In fact, one of the things you had mentioned prior was my time in both Cuba and in Poland. Believe it or not, when I arrived in Poland, it was still a communist country. So I have now twice lived and worked in a communist country, two different communist countries. And I've had up close and personal experience with what is a Soviet model economy. And that's precisely what I see happening to America, is changing from the America we knew, the noble, the good, the free, into a Soviet-style republic with Chinese social credit systems and totalitarian policies, no freedom of speech, pretty soon no gun rights. All of those things flow from an ethos. What is your culture? And I see our culture under attack. In fact, I see our government and its purpose, frankly, as being under attack. And all of that is by design. It's all in furtherance of the elimination of borders and a one world government where no such thing as culture exists. Everybody's the same. It will be a caste system, no different than it really was in the Soviet Union back in the time. There are the elites and everybody else. And you see that now. The elites, as they even call themselves that, are in Davos and Geneva, telling the rest of us what it is we can do or not do. And I can demonstrate it to you to some extent. So you're absolutely right. In August of last year, the Secretary of Defense made a proclamation, an illegal order. That's why I call it a proclamation, that all of our service members, the entirety, including National Guard, reservists, would undertake this experimental gene therapy. They call it a COVID vaccine. There's nothing of the sorts. It is a phase 3 clinical trial of an experimental shot whereby all of the test animals in the prior phases actually died. And furthermore, in the phase 2 study with 44,000 U.S. service members, it turns out that they had hidden 1,200 fatalities. So this is not the nobility of the government that we thought we had. You know, and it, I know that we're having an issue with some of our generals are very upset about the cadets that aren't getting into, are being forced out of the military academies for the same reason. They won't take the shots. And I'm really sympathetic to that, having served myself and remembering what it was like 30 some years ago, where we were all part of a big family and we were honored to wear that uniform, that we all bled red. It was the biggest fraternity in the world. We didn't tolerate dishonesty. We didn't tolerate anything. We had principles and standards. And I understand now that that's going away. Service members I talked to today that are in our plaintiff's class will tell me stories I just can hardly believe, that they would be doing more sensitivity training than flight training. If you can imagine that, 3 days a week and issues of critical race theory or issues of transgender sensitivity, rather than, you know, learning how to fly a helicopter. So it's really mind-blowing to me that this is where our government goes. And it if it's tolerated, if society tolerates this, then it ends in corruption at the highest levels. And this is precisely what it is we've actually seen in our case. I'm one of many lawyers suing many different cases trying to stop these mandates, whether from our military or governments from around the planet, as a matter of fact. And what we've come to find is the entire system is corrupt, whether we make allegations of criminal conduct, because everything our government is doing is in fact criminal. By the way, this was all dealt with before in the Nuremberg Code and the Nuremberg Trials of 1945, arising from Nazi atrocities. That's where we got the phrase crimes against humanity. What our governments are doing today are crimes against humanity. And yet, if you make a complaint to your law enforcement, whether that's your attorney general, or even your sheriff, they refuse to even have a look at it. In our case, we went to the federal district court in Colorado and we made a complaint that, number one, the order is illegal. Number two, it's effectively a crime against humanity. Number three, you can't force people to become experimental laboratory animals, certainly not our military, especially given that that's our last line of defense. And all these global threats, we're going to risk the entirety of our military at the same time. And we filed a temporary restraining order that was very promptly thrown out. In fact, our case got dismissed after the DMED data was disclosed, meaning that our military was aware of all of these problems. And so we were chucked out, and that's where we ended up in the 10th Circuit, where we added one last thing that everybody should think about, and that is whether or not, because of these gene therapies, the people who received the shots are actually owned. Are they the chattel property of the patent holders? And believe it or not, the Department of Justice refused to answer that question, which leads me to believe that that's the case. So all of this is to say that when there's a lack of standards, when we tolerate this kind of behavior, when we tolerate people stealing, letting people out of jail for petty crimes, or even for heinous crimes now, what we're saying is a culture is that we don't prize integrity, and integrity is everything. Without integrity, then we're just, you know, we're privateers. And that's actually what we've come to find. You see, today in the Ukraine, American soldiers are going over there to go and become mercenaries. When in American history was it an okay thing? Was it noble to be a mercenary? It's like the letters Mark. So is the next phase where rather than paying our soldiers, you know, rather than housing our soldiers, giving them health care and taking care of them, making them proud to be that, are they going to be given, you know, privateer letters? Will they just let them go and maraud like days of old Vikings and pirates? This is my concern, doctor. This is where we end up. We've gone a long, long ways backwards from when I was in the military 30 years ago.
We have, Todd, from just over my adult life to see the standards just assaulted and decimated in literally since 2009. That's the real turning point that I've seen, and it has escalated, skyrocketed under the Biden administration. And clearly this administration has been undermining the military UCMJ Code of Justice, our constitutional rights, military service members' rights. And it is very alarming to see the damage to our military medically that I personally have seen treating patients, military service members who couldn't get answers from military doctors who were choosing to be blind to the vaccine complications,
yes,
went outside to get a medical evaluation. It's all there. It's all there in objective data. And I'm seeing it. I'm hearing their stories from our Military Advisory Council members of what is happening. It is unprecedented. And this is our line in the sand. This is where we as American citizens must stand, speak out against this destruction of all the values that we hold dear. And I thank you for being part of this press conference today to speak out. Is there anything you would like to say to the listeners in closing?
I do. What I'd really like people to do is put your standards back into play. Stop tolerating this nonsense. We don't have to tolerate any of this. And as long as we demonstrate our own personal, our ethos, our pride, our principles, our culture, then we don't have room left for that. You know, we can exclude that from our society. And it's when we become tolerant of such things that we abdicate our decision-making. We abdicate our freedom. We abdicate who we are. So yeah, I would like people in uniform and out of uniform to please, you know, put back on your armor of God and live your life with principle, with purpose, with honor. Bring back honor to our country. That's what we're really missing, Doctor.
You are so right. And we need to bring back honor to the medical profession that has not answered their oath to patients in following orders from politicians and bureaucrats.
Right.
We have a lot to do to reestablish integrity and honor and duty to country and family and duty to God. So thank you for helping us in this fight.
Thank you for having me along. God bless you.
God bless you. May God continue to bless America, and we stand strong to defend her.
Many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code America50 for 50% off any order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell, and use code America50 for 50% off.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
I want to welcome now Major General, U.S. Army retired, Paul Vallely. Major General Vallely served a distinguished career of 31 years in the U.S. Army before he retired as Deputy Commanding General, U.S. Army Pacific, in Honolulu, Hawaii, in 1992. General Vallely graduated from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and earned his commission in the Army in 1961, of course, at the height of the Vietnam War breaking out. He is a graduate of the Army's Infantry School, Ranger and Airborne Schools, Jump Master School, and the Command and General Staff School, the Industrial College of the Armed Forces, and the Army War College. I want our listeners to understand the extensive experience that he brings to us and to this discussion today. His combat service in Vietnam included positions as infantry company commander, intelligence officer, operations officer, military advisor, and aide-de-camp. He has over 15 years experience in special operations, psychological operations, and civil military operations. Then after serving two combat tours in Vietnam, he also served in several other overseas theaters in Europe and Pacific Rim countries. Vallely served on the U.S. security assistance missions and civilian military relations tours in Europe, Japan, Korea, Thailand, Syria, Iraq, Kuwait, Turkey, Israel, Indonesia, and Central America, literally all over the world. He has served as consultant to the commanding general of the Special Operations Command, as well as the DOD anti-drug and counterterrorism task forces. He also designed and developed the Host Nation Support Program in the Pacific for the DOD and State Department. Major General Vallely has been an expert analyst on military affairs for Fox News and for other military and media outlets. He's a guest lecturer on all of these issues on national security, national and international politics, economics, and strategic planning. He and General McInerney, whom you heard from earlier in the program, actually are the co-authors of the book, Endgame, Blueprint for Winning the War on Terror. He conducts many interviews on national and international media, radio and TV each week, and currently is the chairman of Stand Up America US Foundation, and also chairs the Legacy National Security Advisory Group and a founding member of the Citizens Committee on National Security, and is the founder of Nemo Arms Incorporated in Boise, Idaho. Major General Vallely is certainly extraordinarily well qualified to speak to the very serious issues that Truth for Health Foundation is bringing forward in our role in serving the public good as a public charity. We are here to discuss with the public the very serious issues facing this country, and I know of no one better to do that than General Vallely. Thank you for joining us today, General Vallely, and thank you for your service for so many years to our country and your continued service, because as we know, your oath to the U.S. Constitution does not expire with retirement from the armed forces. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that very, very kind introduction. Today, we want to talk about the betrayal of the military. And I'm going to take some time to do that, if you don't mind. It's very troubling to me that the military has required continued mandatory vaccinating all the members of the armed forces when recent medical reports reflect that deaths, serious reaction illness, physical damage to those that have been vaccinated. The generals and the admirals are requiring all of our members of the armed forces, as well as the Department of Defense civilian force, to be vaccinated. Now, cadets at West Point, the Air Force Academy, midshipmen at the Naval Academy are required to violate their religious beliefs, contrary to the freedoms, freedom of religion, long observed by our military, and of course, the First Amendment. They have coerced these cadets and midshipmen into complying with what I call illegal orders, mandates to submit to vaccinations with experimental drugs never approved by the FDA. Such mandates, in my opinion, to involuntarily submit to vaccination with these experimental drugs is in violation, as I've mentioned, of the freedom of religion, customs, beliefs of the military, but it also violates a precedent set by the Nuremberg War Crime Tribunals, 1947, that was established really to disallow the involuntary use of experimental drugs, claiming it a crime and against humanity. Now, such conduct, I would say, by the Pentagon is a gross violation of international law. This mandate has resulted in a severe morale problem, readiness problem of our armed forces. We must stop this mandatory vaccination today of our armed forces and do it now. Members are being forced to leave the service with threats of disciplinary action and courts martial if they do not bend to the mandatory vaccinations and boosters. Across all branches of our military, thousands of highly experienced, exemplary military service members have been harassed, persecuted, and served with career-ending reprimands for refusing to take the vaccinations. Thousands more have been so vaccinated and injured that they cannot function. And this is based on fact. The Truth Foundation gives our military a platform to expose the corruption of military law and dangers to our national security when the lives of our volunteer service members are in jeopardy with dangerous politically driven policies pushed by the Department of Defense top down. Now, Dr. Peter McCullough, who I have got to know very well, has stated that the danger is the vaccine accelerates death from other causes, lessens the natural immunity. So if someone has cancer, for example, the vaccine may accelerate that. If someone has heart disease, they are much more likely to have a heart attack or strokes. And blood clotting is undeniable with very many cases. The vaccine is incredibly risky, and it is basically achieving its goal, as Dr. McCullough said. Now, if the goal is to reduce the world's population, it's working. Now, it's not been long enough to see the effects of all the vaccines on fertility, but we have women pregnant in the military that are being affected by it, by this. And that's not the next shoe to drop. In August 2021, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced that all troops must receive the COVID-19 vaccine, arguing it is to maintain military readiness. This does not ring true to me as a commander. Some service members, including Navy SEALs, who were denied a religious exemption to the vaccine, have filed lawsuits. We have lawsuits going on at all the academies supporting those cadets and midshipmen who have denied the vaccine. And we have three federal judges now that have blocked the military from punishing members that filed these lawsuits in response to the alleged violations in the treatment of these religious exemptions. And lawsuits are ongoing today, I may mention. The American military and the U.S. military academies are experiencing radical changes of its original mission, purpose, and principles. The changes in direction are being heavily influenced by what we call wokeness, the influence of the leftist ideologies of the senior generals and admirals, who we say have gone woke. The cumulative effect or impact of these charges or changes is so altered the U.S. military academy, for example, that it's betrayed the purpose for which it was founded in 1802, defense of our Constitution and maintenance of individual freedom. This transformation today betrays the purpose of the founders and the sacred principles of the Declaration of Independence, in my opinion. Having declared the military to be in a state of radical change against its original mission, purpose, principles, the question is, where do we go from here? And that's a big question we have to answer. We hold the belief that the work of the founders has produced a nation like no other. The constitutional order of the Republic rests upon the fundamental principles that are really unique to the United States. Our Constitution, state and federal, are the most wonderfully designed documents that create an adhesive, a cohesive, just, and peaceful means of life, not to be disturbed as it is today. We have a beautiful system that has been corrupted and abused by the people with no moral foundation. Communist ideologies are trying to replace personal responsibility, self-reliance, and initiative with entitlement mentality. They are working hard to transfer the Constitution to a document that can be continually revised to accommodate the latest social cultural trends. They've made substantial progress. The Biden administration seeks to divorce military service from the defense of the Constitution. Excuse me. Now, it's not the purpose of the military to really help advance these anti-American, anti-constitutional agendas of what I call these leftist ideologues. But the military is being forced by woke leaders, mandatory vaccinations. And it's coming down from the White House, from Congress, from the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, advancing a leftist agenda that seeks to tear down the Constitution, not protect it. So it's all a top-down situation that we see now happening. Officers and the enlisted troops are being required to sit through these leftist indoctrination sessions, such as the indoctrination of the vaccinations, for example, that portray America as an inherently honest, racist nation, white troops as genetically bigoted, and minority troops as hopeless, lifelong victims. Now, let me say, it is the time that God made patriots. This is no time for summer soldiers and sunshine patriots, if I may quote that. Those who have stood in harm's way are needed now to stand by our oath. It's time to speak truth to power. We either serve duty, honor, and country, or we challenge the demands of a secular revolution to fundamentally alter America, transforming the Republic into a tyrannical police state. We need to be further embarrassed by the past year, the surrender in Afghanistan that our troops witnessed. We must be focused on the training of our forces under a committed leadership of highly qualified cadre of officers and NCOs to secure America and citizens against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I want to thank you today for allowing me to take the time and present my position on this matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, General Vallely, for such a powerful statement. And Truth for Health Foundation joins you with Stand Up America in urging all citizens, this is the time for us to take a stand, defend our position, to defend the core human and civil and constitutional rights guaranteed to all of us at great cost in blood and treasure over the years since our first forefathers and my own ancestors fought in the first American Revolutionary War against the tyranny of King George. We must stand. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in World War II, in spite of the fact that he lost his life, he stood against the evil of the Nazi regime. And he said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. So General Vallely, thank you for sharing your many years of experience defending this country to continue to defend the Constitution now. We are grateful for you. God bless you, and God bless America.
Bless you. Thank you very much.
I am now joined by Commander Robert Greene, Jr., who began his service to the U.S. Navy in 2003 and had an exemplary career with many command positions and strategic responsibilities in the U.S. Navy until the rollout of the vaccine mandates for the military. Despite being fired for his convictions, Commander Green has taken a lead in fighting against the unlawful orders and the violations of the Constitution that have been occurring with the vaccine mandates in the military and the use of EUA or emergency use authorization testing and masking products that have been forced upon our military as well. In addition to playing a critical role in the federal lawsuit that ultimately provided Navy service members a class-wide injunction, he has also been a strong advocate for those who've been abused and harassed by the unlawfully aggressive commands that violate not only the UCMJ regulations, but the U.S. Constitution and our normal medical ethical procedures and many human and civil rights that are secured by law. Commander Green has been one of the legal defense grant recipients from Truth for Health Foundation, as he has courageously stood for fighting for medical freedom and needed assistance to do so. And in doing so, while at great personal threats to his career and livelihood, he has been a role model for others and a leader for others, which is what our military has trained him to do. We are honored to have him on our program today. I'm honored to have him on our Military Advisory Council. And his stand has helped so many others. Thank you, Commander Green. Pleased to have you today. And I know you have a story to tell about another Navy officer and her situation with the continued persecution that's going on right now, in addition to your own story.
Yes, Dr. Vliet, thank you for having me. Honored to be here with you. And thank you for everything that you have been doing and the Truth for Health organization has been doing in this fight. So the reason I'm here to talk to you and to everybody else that's going to see this is to try to shine light on some of the egregious things that have been going on in our military as they have tried to force EUA products on service members. Now, the story I want to bring to your attention is one that we just found out a few days ago, but it is a Navy lieutenant, a dental officer, a dentist, who has, for religious reasons, refused the COVID vaccine, as well as now the testing. If she previously had tried to test and then realized that it was discriminatory, and she was not sick. And so it also, the ethylene oxide on the tip. And she brought that to her command's attention and then said, I can no longer go along with this discriminatory practice and has refused testing. And ultimately, she has been dealt with very harshly and has been banned from her building and has had to wait outside. And so, Dr. Vliet, I, when I learned of this, I wanted to make sure that I got in contact with her to try to help her in any way that I could and bring her into, you know, the other groups that we have of folks that are fighting similar issues.
Well, and she may be able to get assistance from our legal defense grant program, but also as a plaintiff on the lawsuit that we're bringing on behalf of the human and civil rights secured by law that protect people against being forced to use these EUA products. So I'm grateful that you brought that forward. And I want to make a point to the public. What good does it serve the public, and in this case, the military service members who need the dental care, to have a political agenda on a vaccine mandate, keep the dentist from doing her job that the taxpayers are paying her to do? I mean, I think this is an egregious abuse, but it's also harming the very people that she joined the service to provide help for.
Yes, Dr. Lee, that's absolutely right. It is going against readiness, frankly. We have an obligation to ensure that our military is ready. And this dentist is part of that. She provides a critical care that is being cast away in order to push what is, as I think you said it correctly, a political agenda. So it's important to know why this is unlawful as well. An EUA product is an emergency use authorized product by the FDA. And under Title 21 of the US code, you cannot mandate that on an individual when they have the right to refuse and they exercise that right. It is the HHS secretary shall provide the right to accept or refuse the emergency use authorized product. It goes on later in the law to talk about additional conditions, but the right to refuse, to accept or refuse, is a required condition, and the word shall is used in that law. So any commander anywhere who is trying to push an EUA product, whether it's a mask, a test, or the vaccine on a service member, is violating the law. So thank you for letting me get that out to everyone, Dr. Leet, but it is important for service members to understand that.
It is critically important, and I don't know how the law can be any more clear than to say they shall have the right to refuse. And yet this dentist was threatened with dishonorable discharge, loss of dental license, and psych evaluations and potential forcing of psychiatric medications for standing up for what is guaranteed under the regulations you just cited. This is a terrible abuse of our military service members, and the public should be outraged that America's sons and daughters who volunteered to serve this country are being abused in this way, in gross violation of the US Constitution they took an oath to serve. So thank you, Commander Green, for standing up for all of the others that you represent in your personal fight against these unlawful orders. And thank you for standing up and bringing this Navy dentist case to our attention. And I commit that we will help fight this battle to secure these critical human and civil rights that the law has guaranteed every American, especially our military, who are being persecuted under the cloak of military secrecy and who took an oath to help all of us defend these rights. So I thank you for speaking up. Thank you for your courage and your service to our country. And thank you for this, your service to Truth for Health Foundation. We are honored to have you on our team.
Thank you, Dr. Vliet. And I'll leave you with something courageous that this lieutenant shared with me as we were sharing this story. She basically told me she's not afraid of what their threats are, dishonorable discharge. She's not afraid of having her license pulled even. I'll leave you with her words that she shared with me as we were discussing this issue. But she has a firm biblical belief in that her body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. She does not fear dishonorable discharge. She does not fear their threats about losing her license. She is only deeply concerned about any medication they might force on her against her will if they try to do an unlawful psych evaluation on her and try to admit her incorrectly for a psychological issue, which she does not have. She just has a belief in God. And frankly, Dr. Vliet, that gives me a lot of courage that she is showing that level of courage, that level of belief. And I hope that she is an encouragement to others. So I'll leave you with that. And I thank you for having me on to share her story so that others might have courage.
And thank you for doing that. This is truly inspirational to hear what she said. And I want every American listening to this interview today to realize, there but for the grace of God goes you or your son and daughter in the military. And that is not the United States of America. To weaponize psychiatry against our service members simply because they stand up for their rights, that's a tactic of the Soviet gulag. And we're having it happen right here in San Diego, California, in the US Navy. This cannot stand. America, all of you need to stand against this kind of tyranny. Thank you, Commander Green, for bringing this to all of us today. God bless you, and God bless the America that we were given by our founders, and may we have the strength to fight for this freedom to continue. This is Dr. Lee for America, closing tonight's show of Truth for Health, the rest of the story. Join us again next week for more that the media refuses to tell the public. Check our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Sign up for our newsletter alerts and donate to support our efforts to fight for everyone's medical freedom.